I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Internet Marketing brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, Kelvin talks to digital marketing consultant Adrian Rowe, chairman of Red Sea and of the Institute of Direct Marketing North, about the growing digital and creative scene in the Northwest. All coming up in Internet Marketing.
So I'm joined again by Adrian from Red Sea Marketing. We spoke a few weeks ago about email marketing, but as I had the opportunity to sit down in front of the microphone, I wanted to talk a little bit more about kind of the burgeoning Northwest digital and marketing scene. Because recently I went up and spoke at a conference that you organised in Media City in Manchester.
You did indeed.
Can you tell us a bit about kind of that event and kind of your background and I suppose some of the things you're involved in, kind of the IDM and the like?
Okay. Well, I'm the chairman of the IDM North.
Yeah.
And we run events. In fact, we run the event that you came and kindly spoke at, Kelvin. That was an annual conference, a full day conference that we run. We have run for the last at least 10 years, I think.
Yeah.
In the North. And it's to give marketers in the North the chance to come together and hear top speakers like yourself, you know, from the South on an annual basis. And we try to get look at a mix of things. You'll probably have noticed from the audience that a lot of them are quite senior. A lot of people who attend are quite senior people, often from the client side. So we try to cover strategic marketing. Yeah. We try to cover offline marketing issues. And we'll, of course, we cover digital marketing issues.
And I spend quite a lot of time up in Manchester and I've kind of been involved with, you know, the MMUs, the Manchester Metropolitan University, and
some of
their postgrad courses that they do there, and kind of I know that SASCON, and I think it's forget the name now, it's Manchester Digital, I believe, a kind of a trade body they're up
there. Manchester Digital.
There's a huge amount seeming to go on there in the Northwest. And for those people listening here outside the UK, there's been kind of a big sort of change in how the BBC, so the, you know, the big broadcast organisation here in the UK, have been relocating to Salford and Media City. Has that changed the kind of dynamics of
massively? Yeah. I mean, Manchester was has always been a strong creative city, you know. There's strong creative industries in Manchester, and inevitably, like all of the creative industries right around the world, that's gradually moved into creative and digital. Manchester's one of the biggest cities in Europe now for the creative and digital industries. I think I've read somewhere that there are something like 20,000 companies in Greater Manchester involved in the creative and digital industries. It's a real, you know, it's a thriving part, a really important part of the economy. But the defining factor, you know, behind the sort of, you know, cementing that creative and digital footprint in Greater Manchester was the development of Media City UK on Salford Quays, where you came to speak, and the move 3 years ago of the BBC up north. There are now 2,800 people from the BBC working in Media City UK, and the fastest growing of their departments there is what they call future media, which is the web and digital side.
And you know, you guys are based out in the Media City area. Have you always been out that way, or is it
not always? We were in the city centre 5 years ago, but we felt that Salford Quays had great promise, and Media City UK was expanding all the time. So we felt for a creative and digital agency, it was a very sensible place to be.
And does that help with recruitment and that type of thing? Because I know that, you know, myself spending a lot of time working in Brighton, which is kind of a slightly different but kind of similar sort of,
there
as well, that kind of one of the big reasons that I think Brighton's
you've
successful...
You've got the sea, we've got the ship canal.
Well, there you go. Similarities.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's really helped Brighton grow as a kind of digital hotspot is that, you know, for a city the size of Brighton to have two major universities there, both of which seem, you know, Brighton University doing particularly well in terms of some of their, you know, digital marketing quarters, University of Sussex having a strong academic reputation and attracting kind of creative and, you know, intelligent people there. That's a big part of the reasons for the success of Brighton, I think. But, you know, with Manchester, there's a huge, you know, you've got Manchester Metropolitan University, the University of Manchester, you know, huge kind of academic institutions that really seem to get that there. Is that something that's helped you as an organisation?
Oh, definitely. You know? I think it's the biggest student city in Europe. And the fact that there are so many marketing and digital course options within, you know, Manchester, the University of Manchester, Manchester Metropolitan, the University of Salford.
Yeah.
You know, there's a really strong digital and marketing focus within the academic sector within Greater Manchester. That helps us a lot with recruitment. We take a lot of students on placement.
Yeah.
They often come back to us when they've graduated.
Yeah.
In fact, we tend to give them the nod if we think we would like to see them back. We're about to take on our first two digital creative apprentices in our studio, which is an experiment for us.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll start in January,
but
you know, we want to be taking young people throughout, you know, from post GCSE right through to sort of postgraduate level.
Yeah.
Into the agency, because we're looking at the long-term future of the agency.
And I know you spend a lot of time down in London and down south as well. Do you think that kind of the being based in Manchester and North West is actually a huge opportunity? Because many of the London agencies and the South Coast agencies, there's going to be clients that perhaps are off their radar or that type of thing. But it doesn't take long for you guys to nip down to London and service London clients. But there's there's perhaps the journey the other direction doesn't seem to be made quite so frequently. If you know what I mean? So I spend. Now, maybe come up to Manchester, I don't know, 4 or 5 times a year, and people down in Brighton think that's sort of surprising to be up there that frequently. And, but it's not that far away, is it really? You know, you jump on the Pendolinos or whatever they're called, the fast Virgin trains, and down in no time. Yeah.
Two hours. It's 2 hours on the train from either, you know, Leeds to London or from, you know, Manchester to London Euston. And it's very, very simple. I mean, we do it. You know, we look after Eurostar's email marketing, for example, and once a month we, you know, simply get off the train at the other end and walk straight into the Eurostar offices. It's easy to do.
And, you know, you mentioned there Leeds as well. That's another, you know, city that's, you know, I know some great agencies, some great in-house teams based up there in Leeds. Is it, they're kind of, do the cities keep themselves quite separate? You know, is there a kind of a cross-pollination between Leeds and Manchester to a certain extent, or is it actually... very different scenes with its own kind of personality there as well.
Well, I'm a result of the cross-pollination because I live in Yorkshire, quite near Leeds, and I work in Manchester every day.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, sometimes traumatic journey across the M62, but actually, you know, Leeds and Manchester do, share a lot of clients, agencies, staff, and so on.
Ah, fantastic. And, you know, I know you've got the kind of role with the IDM in the north there.
Yeah.
You know, what do you kind of see as the big challenges that the industry as a whole is facing that kind of is perhaps maybe unique or kind of unusual to the north? Or is that the same as across the UK? It's just people within it.
I think if we're looking at one big challenge, then I think there's going to be a shortage of skilled staff.
Yeah.
Because the growth... in creative and digital industries, to stick with that title, is outstripping the ability. You know, even though we've talked about some of the great courses that the academic institutions have, the growth in outstripping the ability to sort of provide well-qualified, well-skilled staff who can just slot straight into a job. So that's a challenge. Mm. It's definitely a challenge in the Northwest. Mm. And I know that, you know, they're forecasting something like 150,000 skills gap, 150,000 person skills gap by 2017 in the creative and digital industries in the Northwest.
Yeah. That's scary. Huge. Well, I suppose it's a huge opportunity for individuals to kind of either relocate or pick up those skills there in particular. Any particular skill sets that, you know, maybe from your experience or from the other people you're kind of connected to, that, you know, if you were saying to someone who's going through university now or leaving school or looking to a career change and get into digital or marketing, any particular areas or specialisms that you think they'd be wise to work on to kind of give themselves the best opportunity there?
Yes, I mean, I think there's one in particular I want to focus on, but I'll start abroad. I think paid search, search engine optimization, your areas of expertise, Kelvin. Yeah. I think that the growth there is outstripping, you know, to a certain extent, the ability to provide, you know, really well-skilled staff. I think in web development, email, you know, HTML skills, design skills. I think there's one particular area where I think there is there's a challenge for the industry, which is that, you know, I've got people in my business and I know in other businesses in the Northwest who are either we call them interactive developers, so they've got really strong technical skills, HTML5, CSS3, you know, a whole range of other sort of technical skills, and we've got people who've come up through the sort of design college route who have great eye for design, great creative skills, and so on. There's kind of a bit in the middle that where, you know, the industry really needs people who've got strong technical skills but also a great eye for design and creativity and crafting. And there's a real shortage for people who can combine both sides. It's almost like a left brain, right brain thing, I think. But there's great opportunity for people who could walk that tightrope in the middle.
There's a great, and if anyone's kind of interested in that, perhaps more from the kind of technical background and interested in learning more about design, there's a great book that I've read recently in this whole email series and website that goes with it called Design for Hackers, which kind of takes this... you know, accepting that, you know, great design is a hugely creative process, but there are patterns within good design that a good designer picks up and just becomes intrinsic. You know, intrinsically they know that, you know, and they can see it. They might not be able to put their finger on it and explain it, but what the book tries to do is say, you know, for a kind of more technical, perhaps, you know, more accustomed to rule-based systems way of thinking, kind of saying, here are some principles that can lead to good design, and actually if you can pick those up, then this technical mindset can actually often be able to pick up a lot of, they might not be the greatest designer in the world, but they'll probably be, compared to their peers of other technicians, they can be significantly better designers there. So I'll drop a link to that in the show notes, because I think that's
okay, that'd be good. I'd like to read that.
Good one to pick up on that.
It's one of the reasons why we use eye tracking. You know, when we spoke last time, we talked about eye tracking emails, but, you know, one of the things that we know as a, you know, a results-oriented marketing agency, we know when things work, you know, we know what works, and we keep using our experience to ensure that we put the things that we know work in. Sometimes we don't know why it works, you know, we don't understand why one design works better than the other, and that's where eye tracking, which is, you know, a qualitative research tool, it can help you to understand, you know, so these, you know, this particular design is really exploiting peripheral vision very well, or something like
whatever,
that.
Whatever the concept is there. And, you know, something that I know that down in Brighton we've struggled a bit with is that, you know, it does very, very well in terms of getting people into the digital community and into working in the roles. And often they will be their first role or second role out of university or college. Yeah. And, you know, people develop very quickly. They take on some great skills, take on some great responsibilities. But there comes a point 2-3 years into their career where it gets a bit tricky, where they're then asked to manage or take on more kind of strategic roles. And, you know, that's, I think, an area that I think I've, you know, been involved with the agency and knowing lots of other agencies and in-house organisation through the events business, it's tricky. It's that kind of the broadening of responsibilities that people often, they get very, very good at the thing it is that they do, and then they're then put into positions of management, or any experience that you've had from that, or advice that you can offer to people in terms of recruiting or training or helping people take on those kind of more strategic roles that perhaps you might have in organisation?
That is very difficult to do, because you often get promoted because you are good at one particular thing, and you go beyond your level of competence, kind of thing.
But
I strongly recommend some of the sort of supplementary courses for people in work, the IDM courses that you teach on. There are there are IDM courses, there are DMA courses, lots of really good course providers who can help you to assimilate sort of the principles of strategic marketing, regardless of which channel your background is in. I got to say, I think the other thing to do, as I know you do a lot, is to read widely around the subject. Get to know market sectors, don't just get to know about email. Get to know about fashion marketing, so when you can combine channel experience, social media, email, PPC, or whatever, with sector experience, the way that the the e-com, fashion e-commerce works, or whatever sectors you're interested in, the travel business, marketing in the travel business, that's when you start to be able to develop strategic marketing skills.
I mean, it's a great explanation that I've heard people use, this idea of the T-shaped marketer, where you have depth of experience in one channel or a couple of connected channels, but then broad experience of the other. So you could kind of, you might be an email marketing specialist, you might be a web designer, you might be a social media marketer, you know that inside out, you know that's your area of expertise, but you have a good level of understanding and appreciation of what's good work, what's bad work, the general principles of multiple disciplines. And if you can do that, then you're in a really good position to recommend to your client or to your boss or to your broader team, if you're working in house, of what it is they ought to be doing. And the danger is if you're just that tall, narrow bit, you're too specialist to move into the more senior roles. But if you're too broad, then actually it's tricky to really add value, because you need an area of expertise, which I think is a kind of a good analogy.
No, that's definitely true. I mean, as you get older and more experienced, you inevitably have to specialise more. Yeah. And there comes a point where you can't actually break out of your specialisation. Yeah. So I think to acquire broad knowledge in your 20s, is really, really important for the development of your career.
Fantastic. Well, like I say, great to speak to you. Great to hear about the great things that are going on in Manchester. I know there's some great events up there. I know the DMA and IDM event that I spoke at, well, I thoroughly recommend people going to next year. I know there's events like SaskCon which take place up there as well. And for people who are kind of perhaps outside of the UK, there is more to digital in the UK than just London, Brighton, Manchester, and Leeds, and also Edinburgh and Bristol, I think, are all cities that are doing some exceptional stuff there. So if anyone's ever coming to the UK to look into digital businesses, there is more than just London. So fantastic. Cheers for that.
Thank you very much, Kelvin.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website, and if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.